Welcome back to Business Resolutions with your host, Jorge Gonzalez.
Welcome back to Business Resolutions with my guest, Emilio Ortiz of Survey Metal. And we're just discussing how you were able to, let's put it, facilitate getting the paperwork to be able to leave Cuba and get to the U.S. Between that moment where you're able to get into the U.S. and your first job, tell us, because you had family in Tampa and they took you under their wing. And I think compared to most Cuban, you had more support when you arrived than
that's
a lot.
Absolutely.
Okay, so tell us what happened when you arrived and how you got going, how you got that job in Houston.
Okay, my family was in Miami. She was born in Tampa, but they were living in Miami. But when I landed in the States, actually I was going to continue my college education. And the plans were for me to attend Loyola University in New Orleans. So when I landed in Miami, I had left. My parents gave me a ticket in refundable in Cuban pesos only, but good for flying for 500 pesos, which according to the law then you could not refund that in dollars, but you could use them to fly within the United States. So that gave me mobility to fly to New Orleans, and I went to Loyola. Unfortunately, they told me that they could not take me because they had already started the year, and that they could take me on the second semester. But they advised that I had to take some courses, preliminary courses, and they said that they should go to LSU, which had the New Orleans campus at that time, which was located at Lake Pontchartrain. So I did that at night. I enrolled at night so that I could get a job during the day. But there was no jobs. We were in the midst of the USA recession in 1960. And it was impossible. I had letters of recommendation from Cuba for different people in New Orleans. They did not pan out. And at the end, I had to pay as a non-resident of New Orleans to LSU a fee that to me was astronomical because I didn't have the money, but I had to put up the money. And I could not, you know, finish because I could not find a job. So what I had to do was, reluctantly, I had to drop out.
Take a sabbatical.
Yeah.
And before then, you started.
Then fly to Miami. And after flying to Miami, regroup and try to see if there was a job that I could find in Miami. Well, there was none. One day I hear a radio advertising that they need workers for a factory in Tampa. So off I went. I took the bus to Tampa, the cheapest way of travel at the time, and landed this job, $35 a week. And that was my first job in the States.
Mm-hmm. And it wasn't tobacco, because Tampa was known for tobacco, but yeah, it wasn't tobacco.
No. This was a garment manufacturer, in fact, pedal pushers for ladies at the time.
Right.
And I had all sorts of jobs within that factory. And I worked there for about a year. And then at a point, I was making $35 and I was saving $5 a week. I don't know how I was making that, but I was saving $5 a week.
You live with your family?
No, my family lived in Miami. This was Tampa.
Well, I thought they were from Tampa.
They were from Tampa, but they were all living in Miami at that time.
Okay.
So no, I was living in a boarding house. Man, I don't want to tell you about the boarding house in New Orleans. That one had roaches in the walls all over, and they were waking me up at night with roaches. That was incredible. I'm regressing here now.
But the Tampa one was better.
The Tampa was better. But anyhow, at a certain point, I get my wife's telegram telling me that she's leaving Cuba. We were planning to getting married. but she needs me to wire her X amount of dollars so that she can buy the ticket. And I said, well, you know, there goes my...
There goes my piggy bank for my education.
Right. So bingo, there goes the money. And I sent her the money. She came out of Cuba 1 week before the invasion. We were married 3 days before the invasion of pigs. And we had a three-day honeymoon in Miami Beach. We married on a Thursday. I had to be back in Miami, in Tampa by Sunday, otherwise I get fired.
Yeah.
So
Back to work.
But the idea was that she would find you know, a job. She could not find a job in Tampa either. And her cousins were working in banks in New York. So we said, let's go to New York. Let's leave Tampa and go to New York. So we flew to New York, but we didn't have any money. And the truth of the matter is that we were flat broke. I took my airplane ticket, went to the office, to the airline office, and told them to split the ticket in half because I didn't want to have one ticket just because I was afraid that it would get lost. You know, one of these complimentary stories about all of these things that you want to do. And then it said, Mr. Emilio M. Ortiz. I put an S behind the Mr., and I had now Mr. and Mrs., two tickets for the same value. I went in and booked both of us airline coach to New York, and we flew to New York, both of us. We landed in New York, and we had $125 in our pocket. That was our whole capital. And my wife was already pregnant. We didn't know it, but she was already pregnant.
But you had lodging, that your family, you had family or friends? That,
No, nothing.
Can you arrive without lodging, without a job?
The only thing, yeah, we were absolutely, I mean.
Desperate,
flying by the seats of our pants. We got there, we went into a hotel where her cousin had also lived, the Embassy Hotel in West New York, West Side, and 72nd. And this Jewish fellow, who was the general manager of the building, tells me, your room is $125 and you got to pay it in advance.
That's all you have. That's exactly what you have.
I look at the guy in the eyes and I said, listen, my friend, that's my whole capital. My wife and I have to find a job and we have to eat. So he looks me back and says, all right, I'll tell you what. Pay me half a month, and I'm going to give you my name, my address, and my telephone number. And when you apply for a job, they're going to ask you for references. You give my name. And that's what I did.
Uh-huh.
I had somebody to give us a reference. Otherwise, I would have nobody,
right,
which would have made it double or triple hard in getting a job in New York. First day out, we both get a job at a bank, Hanover Bank. Hanover Bank had a policy that they would not employ illegal today, but at those times very much legal. They would not employ married couple.
Husband and wife.
So I said to her, hey, you stay here. I'll look for something else. At least we can pay our rent and have something to eat, you know,
leftover. Right.
And that's, I found then a job at a cigar shop. Didn't last long there. I didn't like it. I didn't like the culture, the people, the way they were treating me. It was really bad. And then I immediately landed a job in the East River Savings and Loan as a teller trainee. That was in almost close to Harlem in the Upper East River. And then after several months, I switched jobs. They called me from one of the banks that I had applied at Schroeder in Wall Street, and they gave me a raise just by switching banks, and that's where I started. This company, Schroeder, you know,
well known. Yeah, it's a good, solid company.
Yeah, Schroeder, private English banking, and I landed in the trust department, and I moved very very nicely upwards there, fast, and was assistant supervisor in the trust department and all that. At one point, after several years there, I see an ad in the Wall Street Journal looking for something, and I said, "Let me apply for this job."
Let me interrupt you. Let me take a break. We'll be right back.
Okay.
So you started really as a bank. Well, you started, in the clothing industry, but let's take a break. We'll be right back. I'm with the Meteor Tiso Survey Medal.